This is the national public broadcast of W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American society leader. The following interview is one of a series of lectures and interviews conducted on the campus of Duke University in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, February the 5th and 6th, the year 2000.
The leader of 2.5 million Muslims in America, son of Elijah Muhammad and former chief minister of the Nation of Islam, Imam W.D. Muhammad is next on Black Issues Forum. You stay tuned. Good evening and welcome to Black Issues Forum. I'm Jay Holloway. Tonight we talk with Imam Wallenstein Muhammad. He is the leader of 2.5 million Muslim Americans, son of Elijah Muhammad, and former chief minister of the Nation of Islam. Imam Muhammad, welcome to Black Issues Forum.
Thank you, Jay.
And assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Peace be unto you.
Thank you. First, if you can clarify to our audience, just what the difference is between the different Muslim organizations in America, and I understand yours is perhaps the largest single Muslim organization in America.
Yes. I think what we have in America is really the reflection of what we have in the international world of Muslims, because America is a place, you know, where many Muslims come, students, especially the young ones, they come for education, but also older ones, business people, come here for business opportunities. And for other reasons, I think for freedom too, for our freedom that we have in the United States of America. And the differences here are in school of thought. They call it school of thought in the international world. Madhhab is the term in Arabic. Many of the members of our African-American community do not subscribe to any particular school of thought. That's the difference between us and the rest of the Muslims who come from abroad. We have just grown from our roots here as, I would say, people wanting to be accepted in the broad society with the same respect given to whites or anybody else. I think that was the original motivation for us as Muslims in America. We just dressed ourselves in a culture that's Islamic, Islamic in appearance. But really the motivation was to be in the spirit of our people for the recovering the human purity and essence and the social dignity of black people that was lost through slavery.
So really we're talking about African Americans, but there are more than just African American Muslims in America, obviously, right?
Yes, yes. We believe that it's almost 50-50. The immigrant Muslims represent about 50%, and we represent about 50%.
Interesting. Yeah. Another point in terms of population, I understand that in terms of population that there are more Muslims in America than a couple at least of the Christian denominations, Episcopalian and another one, and just as many Muslims in America as there are Jewish Americans.
That's what they're saying. I'm not sure. We can't be sure. All we know is that our numbers are really growing. And a small percentage of Mexican, Spanish people, Hispanic, and whites from American society are growing. So I say a small percentage, it's not even 1% of us, but it's increasing over the years as the media began to discuss Islam. It's increasing the awareness of Islam as a religion, as a major religion. And we are finding that few whites are coming, also joining the African-American community.
Obviously, since this attack on America and the war on terrorism now, there's an increased interest in understanding Islam and the Muslim way of life. Yeah. Do you think Americans really are listening and understanding what Islam is all about?
Yes, I do believe many are. I believe that most American people of faith, Christians, are interested to know Muslims. And the image that we have given, the picture we have given of Muslims in America up until very recently has been very incorrect. As you know, that I was once the chief minister of the Nation of Islam after my father passed, who founded the Nation of Islam.
And we want to talk about that in some detail later. But
all right. So So we have very recently come to see Islam presented in America in the true picture. But the way it was presented before, it was presented as a black man's religion, you know, and that's far from being the truth. Although Africans and blacks represent a big percentage of Muslims in the world.
September 11th, where were you and what was your involvement and reaction on that day and since then?
I was in the Washington area. I had just come on a plane. I was coming to attend a meeting with President Bush. He was going to entertain a group of religious leaders, Muslims, on profiling.
On September 11th?
Yes.
You know, you don't hear much about it.
He wasn't there when he got there, but he was expected to arrive in time for the meeting, which was to be at 3 p.m. I arrived around noon, and when we learned of the trouble, I was not yet in the area of the White House. So we decided that it would be too risky for us to risk trying to go there, that we should stay outside. And the trouble was shocking. So I thought, I lived in Philadelphia for a while. I said, I may have to go drive to Philadelphia by car and stay there until we find out what we should do. But we decided to just go back home, to drive back home. And that's what we did. And I was completely out of it.
Home for you now is where?
It was Chicago area, but I live in the southwest suburbs in a little town called Markham, Illinois, so Markham. And so the next day I woke up and I said, let me go turn television on and see what's happening. And I turned television on, and while I was watching television, I realized that I was completely out of my normal self, mind, and spirit. What happened just shocked me out of my normal mind and spirit. I was stunned so much it was like numb, you know, and not quite conscious of everything. I could respond intelligently to any question or any situation, but it was not my normal spiritual condition. I was not in my normal emotional and spiritual condition, and I just realized I was coming back to myself as I was listening to the news. I said, wow, that thing is something else. To me, it was like something that only Hollywood could give us, you know? It was unbelievable.
So how have you dealt with that and being a Muslim American leader? And it became the perception that it was this religious war and it was against those of Muslim faith, and then it became, you know, maybe Afghanistan, but then it was more focused to the war on terrorism. How would that have been your observation?
Yes. Well, when I have, right away when I hear that any Muslims are doing violence or contributing to violence and that involve hurt and injuries and death of innocent people, right away I think of the psyche of the leaders of the Islamic world that has been damaged firstly by crusades, centuries of crusades, war, to see who's going to be dominated, Christians or Muslims, you know, the globe, the earth, for power, for authority, which went away from Islam. Muslim scholars will all agree that the crusades, the Islamic crusades, had very little representation of true Islam there. It was for power. Same for Christian, for the Christian part too, in the Crusades. And then came much later this colonial era that took over Muslim lands, mapped the Muslim world, geographically speaking, and after that, the Middle East crisis. So these things that have occurred in the history of the Islamic world have scarred the psyche and emotional life of Muslim leaders more than Muslim masses. The Muslim masses haven't engaged that much. So we have leaders now who are, in my opinion, and I'm taking a lot of time here, but I think this is very important for me to say, because I think this is what we are missing. I think President Bush should be in the If he's not thinking like this, he should be aware of how we think, how we perceive the state of Muslim psyche and the problems that we see coming out of extremists. Now when we look at what's happening here today in America, what happened on September 11th, we have to reflect, we have to go back into history and see what has produced this kind of mind and this kind of mind in the Islamic world. And certainly it's leaders that's leading this. It's not a mass movement.
On both sides.
On both sides.
You came to North Carolina and have a schedule that's bringing you back and forth here. Speak at Duke recently, and I was there, and you said something to the effect that the Palestinians are victims in this situation. I think it's a good follow-up to what you just mentioned, that they're in a virtual prison, and Israel holds the key to unlock this, and that. But we need to look at all suffering and all evil. What do you mean by that?
Yes. Well, I meant, I was speaking from my personal experience. I was a guest of Arafat. He invited me to come there to see the conditions of the Palestinians because he's desperate to have friends in America. And I saw it, and I had already been aware of, for many years, of the plight of the Palestinian people. And I was identifying with them because we have had similar histories, you know, our treatment of us in the South.
African American.
Yes, discrimination, segregation, and the horrible crimes against our own race by Americans who said they were Christians, you know. I don't think they were, but they said they were Christians. And now I see the Palestinians held in camps. Well, they say they removed the camps, but what I observed was that all the Palestinians, their freedoms are limited, and the system that contains them, that's been established there to contain the Palestinians, is very much, so much like apartheid was in South Africa, that I have to say that that's another apartheid situation for in the world, to contain that they're designed to contain Palestinians. They don't have business freedom. They don't have even social freedom. They can't go to another area without a permit to go to another area. Their permit in a certain area permits them only to go to certain places. So they may have relatives close by. They can't even go visit those relatives. So they live in a virtual prison. The Jews control, I don't like to say the Jews, because the Jews, they are beautiful. On the whole, the Jews are very beautiful people, very humanly sensitive, like we find good Jews here and everywhere, you know. But the government is, in my opinion, made up of hardened persons who are really not aware that they carry the problems and the scars from Nazi Germany, the Holocaust and all that, you know. That's what's driving them.
So you're almost associating them with the Hitler situation of the previous World War with what's going on today, is that?
Yes, those, Israel was originally founded by persons who had to escape from Nazi Germany.